MoneyWeb now on the money.
The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Chatting now with Daniel King, head of fixed income at Counterpoint. Daniel, appreciate the early morning time. You put out a note last week around our bonds, and you make the point, which South African bonds are, and we get to the vigilance part in a moment, but truthfully, our bonds are cheap, particularly relative to their peers, offering opportunity here.
Yeah. Thanks, Simon. Thanks for having me. I think the fixed income space globally is actually quite a tricky space right now, because there are risks everywhere, with inflation and rates moving all over the show. But in terms of preference order, we do generally prefer emerging market bonds to developed market bonds right now, because we have this legacy in the developed market universe of massive central bank involvement in government bonds, which, while we don't necessarily know the exact extent of the impact of that on yields, it does raise a question mark there about how appropriately those bonds are being priced. In emerging markets, we don't have that problem, and so we believe that the market is at least free to appropriately price the risks, although the risks are of a different nature. They're free to price those risks that exist and compensate us for that. So South Africa sits within that space, and so in particular, our government bonds actually screen as one of the cheaper outliers in the valuation spectrum, providing yields of up to 10.6 right now, which if you use historical inflation rates, that might be a real yield of up to 5%. Plausibly, if the inflation target is lowered or to the peer group level over the next decade, it could be as much as 6-7% real at some point in the future. So that is just unparalleled in the developed market space, where real yields are actually, for the most part, still negative. So, yeah, we are generally quite overweight South African bonds, but we're also, quite sensitive to the risks involved, as we highlighted in the note which we published, it's why we're still being careful to diversify those exposures to a reasonable degree. And, the situation can change, and if it changes, we'll be obliged to change our view. But for now, we are overweight.
And I take that point. I mean, it's fluid, and things can change in a hurry. But you also made the point. Attractive, not without risk. There's always going to be some risk, particularly when we're cheap. And I mean, Turkey, an example. I suppose the point is that we're not Turkey. I mean, South Africa. You can lay many blames at our door. Being Turkey and is not one of them. We've, if nothing else, a very independent central bank.
Yeah, exactly. I think so. So that's very important when we're thinking about the fundamental pillars of a smoothly functioning government bond market. Mm-hmm. The first is monetary integrity. And second is fiscal integrity. Mm-hmm. So we think that South Africa actually scores really quite well on monetary integrity. Arguably we have more central bank independence than even the Fed or the ECB, which have arguably become quite politicized in a way. And our central banks, basic mandate, which is to maintain the monetary integrity of the country, is actually encoded in the constitution, which requires a 2/3 majority in parliament to change. So I think we really do have that going for us. But I think that the more, perhaps more important than more imminent risk in our case, at least, is the fiscal side. Yeah. So, there are scenarios in which GDP growth does continue to be low and tax buoyancy declines and expenditure discipline is undermined. And those are not necessarily pretty scenarios for us. A lack of growth, I think, in particular, could usher in some unhealthy macro policy making over time. And those are the kinds of structural changes which create the negative feedback loops like the one you're seeing in Turkey right now. So that is something to be cognizant of. But having said that, under our current baseline scenarios, and this is true for Treasury and true for the IMF as well, the government debt to GDP ratio is anticipated to stabilize in the next 5 years. And obviously the market is wise to these risks. And our point is actually that it's well-priced. So we're actually more comfortable taking a well-priced risk in an emerging market context then one in the DM space, which we are not necessarily being compensated for.
Yeah, and I take that point. I mean, the actions of the central bankers in the developed markets are distorting that price. But also, as you're saying that, a thought occurs to me. They're almost becoming beholden to markets rather than sort of good old-fashioned economic policy. And I think of that taper tantrum from 2014. And we'll see what happens this week with the sell-off that we've seen. Daniel King, head of fixed income at Counterpoint. Appreciate the early morning. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.